Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
A couple of text messages that have come in to me here that I want to bring you. This listener says, in the context of the debate on working from home, it poses many challenges for workers with disabilities or additional needs. As an employee with ADHD, I find working from home very difficult as it takes away a routine and a structure that people like me depend on. I think a lot of people would have that issue with, you know, a lack of routine and a lack of structure, or one that you have to put in place yourself. This listener works from home 3 days a week. I love it. And very importantly, my team love it. We have very clear goals and we deliver. We meet every week for a team meeting face to face in the office. And on the second day, the team members can choose what day they go to the office, or they can be out at external meetings. No going back. Colleagues love it, irrespective of age and gender or family status. Kat in Offaly loves working from home too. I'm an extrovert. I love the balance of the quiet time to get work done. Thankfully, I have good access to Dublin via the train, but I'd love more late night train options so I can socialise in Dublin. And that's the difficulty, particularly for people who are at that stage of life where they like going out a lot. And if you're working from home, it can be a problem. Another listener quite simply says, I hate working from home. Now, let's leave that debate aside, because there's another one, a bigger one, which has hit us like a train. Harry Barry's laughing here. Now, would you put bananas in your trifle, Harry?
Oh, I think that is heresy.
Anne-Marie Craven is with us as well. Bananas in trifle?
No.
Well, you see, I would have said that. I would agree with both of you, but Owen in Cork says trifle without banana isn't trifle. Trish in Cork, we always put banana in our trifle with mandarin oranges. I'll accept the mandarin orange, that's fine.
It sounds like it's a Cork thing though, does it?
Maybe. Banana in trifle is perfect. I don't know where that listener is. And Mark says the tiramisu is just trifle with notions, which is probably true, or tiramisu with an Italian accent. But the bananas, I'll never get over that. No. And I don't think we'll ever accept it, Harry.
No. I mean, there are some kind of boundaries you can't go beyond.
Listen, you're not here to talk to us about bananas or trifle at all. Yeah. You're here to talk to us about something completely different, because there's always that one person in every family and every friendship group who loves to be dramatic. And it can be very testing at this time of the year because we're spending more time together. So the question we're going to try and answer today is how to navigate it. And as I said, Dr. Harry Barry is here, and in Limerick, Dr. Anne-Marie Craven. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. This is an interesting one, because there's always someone who loves to be dramatic, loves the bit of drama.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think how many people are dreading this Christmas, because how many families up and down the country will have at least one person coming? And it's, how are we going to negotiate this person? Because they're going to be the dramatist. I love the term, the dramatist. These are the people who are going to exhibit really dramatic behaviour, where they're going to want to be the centre of attention. The whole idea of the dramatist is they want to seek to be the attention seeker in the middle of the group, and they can cause absolute chaos. And maybe if I quickly just go through a couple of ways in which they love to play. And when I was doing this up, I had in mind a couple of people in my head. I'm not going to say who they are.
Oh no, don't do that. Be in big trouble.
But their behaviour can vary enormously. Some love to play the victim. Now, the victim is the person who kind of puts himself at the centre of attention, and because their lives are just terrible. Everything that's happened to them is awful. And they just and it's like as if their whole function during this social event is for you to make sure that you make up for them for the rest of
the misery. So if I said to you, I have a really heavy cold, you'd say to me, oh, I have a worse one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I have
terrible
pneumonia.
Flu. Yeah.
The second lot will love to be just the centre of attention. They're just going to dominate the conversation. The third lot are the argumentative and plain awkward ones. No matter what you say, if you say red, they will say blue, and they can be disastrous.
So they'll give out about
they'll
everything. They'll say, why didn't you put banana in the trifle?
Or if you put the banana in the trifle, my God, you could leave the house. The next lot are the doomsday people. I love these, actually. These are the catastrophizers, the killjoys. Do you know what I mean? No matter how joyful the situation is, they will plant the killjoy comment in the middle of it. And then you get the opposite. opposite, the ones who just love to exaggerate and all the rest of it. I don't know what you think, Anne-Marie, but
does that pretty much explain what someone who loves a bit of drama is like?
Well, I made my list here of Harry's categories because there's definitely a research study in there, Harry, because there's not enough out there. When you go looking for the research on drama, you get a lot about plays, okay, first of all, but you also get a little bit more because some researchers noticed that when they were conducting research on other topics like bullying, like social media use among young people, for example, drama was something people kept mentioning, even though it wasn't something people set out to study. So we know from that drama is in people's lives. And what's interesting is we all know what it is when we see it, but we might struggle to explain exactly what it is. So Harry has these different groups of people. I suppose if we were to bring them all together, drama is that kind of interpersonal conflict that arises when people overreact to events or are overly emotional in response to events. And I suppose sometimes I think drama doesn't necessarily have to involve conflict. People might like to stir it up just for a bit of entertainment as well.
Okay, but why? Why would people want to do that?
You know what? I think people can differ, I suppose, on how much people need drama in their lives. So we all like a little bit of colour and spice in the day, right? So if something kind of exciting happened at work, that would be interesting. That would be a good day. But some people need this kind of novelty more than others. And if you're someone who doesn't need it, you might spend time engaging with people when they're being dramatic, but you're actually going to get nowhere because the person doesn't want you to resolve the drama. They want you to join in with them in the drama. So you could spend a lot of time, if you're not interested, trying to engage with someone about these kind of dramatic topics or behaviours. So people just sort of differ in their propensity to enjoy that kind of atmosphere, I suppose. Just the way some people like to work at home and some people like to work, you know, in a setting around others, people differ on that need.
What do you think it says about somebody, Harry, if they like these situations of high drama?
I always regard this as a personality issue, do you know what I mean, more than anything else. I think a very small number of people will have genuine mental health difficulties, say like bipolar disorder, or maybe severe personality disorders. But in my experience over the years, it's more personality. Do you know what I mean? This is the way the person has. And very often, if you kind of, you know, do a little bit of, you know, psychological autopsy and go back, you'll find that the person has had a funny kind of life. Maybe they've all kinds of different things happened to them along the way. Or maybe when they were younger, their personality gradually developed that they found the only way they could get attention. It is an attention-seeking behaviour. So very often these people have maybe not a great sense of themselves. And the only way they can actually, you know, develop that sense of selves is actually to dominate the conversation in a dramatist way. Mm-hmm. And they kind of enjoy it. I think we forget this, that no matter what behaviours they're going on with, they know they're stoking the pot. And most of the time, they actually enjoy it.
So they have a self-awareness around it.
Oh, they have a self-awareness. And my experience over the years that, you know, certain people really enjoy stoking the pot. And you know it's coming. And, you know, I think that's what makes it so difficult for...
if they're enjoying it, they're not going to be interested in changing that behaviour.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think, you know, a really good question is, well, why do we all get bothered about it? You see, this is the big question.
Because it's annoying. Yeah. I mean, even listening to you describe it.
Yeah, it is. I can feel hackles rising of a lot of people. You know, and I think, I'll see what Anne-Marie says, but I think an awful lot of us feel very trapped, particularly at Christmas. You take Christmas, a classic song. We all come, we want this lovely get together, and particularly if it's a big family, and in the middle of it is the dramatist.
Yeah, I think for the adolescent years where we see drama, that's probably a normal part of adolescent life. People are figuring out how to relate to each other more maturely. But when it continues into adulthood, it is hard to see the benefits. Now, I suppose I would distinguish between when something actually dramatic happens and somebody who contrives drama. So, you know, now and then there'll be a very genuine issue that might seem dramatic, but it's real. But the kind of contrived drama is less appealing. And it's so tiring as well. You know, it really is hard. I think the only way of minimising that in your life is probably to be the most boring recipient of dramatic communication that there is, because when you're responding, you're kind of stoking the flames a little bit.
Yeah, going back to what you said, that the person who is acting like this doesn't want you to resolve it. So why would you bother trying? Just don't really engage with it.
Yeah, and you could be tempted to try and resolve the issue. And you know, it's really unlucky, I suppose, for people who have a bit of a need for drama. And I say that in a very genuine way, like we all vary on these kind of personality traits. For people like that, when something genuine does happen, it might be harder for people to take them seriously. So sometimes a serious issue has happened.
The boy who calls Wolf.
It can be hard then when something really has happened.
I said the boy who calls Wolf, but this is often gendered, isn't it, Anne-Marie? You know, the drama queens. We don't have drama kings.
No, we have a term drama queen, which I don't like, and we don't have drama king. And indeed, in the studies that have looked at drama specifically among young people, they have described it as a female phenomenon. Now, I'm not sure that's entirely fair either, and I don't want to make a sweeping statement about men and women, but certainly there's a perception that it's more associated with female relationships. Mm-hmm. Whether that's fair or not is a different question.
They might act out the drama, men and women, in different ways, perhaps, but it's coming from the same place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have to say my own personal, that's all I can go on over the years. I have seen it in men, and it can be really, really very, very annoying as well. But I have seen it more often with women, I have to say. And, you know, sometimes, shall we say, older age groups as well can maybe, without putting my foot in it,
put your foot in it here.
But it can occur at any age. And I think, you know, one of the things that they are absolutely exhausting to be with, because we're trapped. They're very often, if they're awkward or sullen, particularly in a family situation, it can be exhausting trying to resolve the...
But it's like Anne-Marie says, you just have to ignore it to a certain extent if you can.
Well, I have some bits of advice really,
oh, good.
You know what I mean, that I think might really help. The one good thing I would say, sometimes it helps to have a dramatist in the group. If you've got a very quiet, introverted group who really don't talk very much and all the way, it's sometimes not the worst thing in the world of somebody who does create a little bit of brightness and drama. But here's a few pieces of advice, and I'm sure Anne-Marie has some really good piece of advice as well. So first thing is, you have to adapt. Suppose you're heading into Christmas now and you're going to have the person arriving. The first thing I would say to you, you have to treat with a sense of humour. You must. Too often in life, we are too serious about both ourselves and everything around. So if we have a healthy sense of good humour, that will make a huge, huge difference. So just think of the nonsense the person's going on with. Stand back a little bit and you'll have a bit of a laugh. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And think of the laughs you'll have afterwards.
Yeah, you might rile them up, though, even more if you're laughing at them, essentially.
I think another thing is, one of the great lessons in life that I think we need to learn is that people don't change just because we want them to change. So we have to sometimes accept, this person's not going to change just because I want them to change. So therefore, I have to work around them. So change your own thinking. I think a very important thing is to develop a feel, particularly over this period of time, an attitude of kindness. Just be kind. Look, this person has their own issues. They have their own problems. They probably have their own past. So being kind and accepting them rather than making it a major deal. Have a little chat with other members of the family. Try and share them around as best you can, is my advice.
Can I just add, you know, the people who might bring a little bit of drama to our lives, no relationships or few relationships are purely positive or purely negative. Most have a mix of qualities. So even though someone might be bringing that bit of drama, you know, you might love them at the end of the day. They bring a positive aspect to your life as well. It just mightn't be the strong aspect of their personality at Christmas. So I'd say that's something to bear in mind as well. And I suppose for me, I think engaging with it is the worst thing you can do. So remove yourself where you can, get outside when you can, and be the most boring conversationalist about dramatic topics that you can.
Accentuate the positive. Isn't that a good place to end?
And I think a really good piece of advice is try and shift them on to doing things that give them a bit of an interest. Do you know what I mean? And remember the final thing, Claire, Christmas is only a short period of time. It's only going to go on for a period of time. Let it go.
Exactly.
It's not worth getting
into
the ring.
Let it go. Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven, thank you both very much for joining us on the programme. And a reminder that you can listen back to anything that we've had on the programme, all of our shows, rte.ie/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Alistair McConnell, the series producer. Researchers Emma Cawley, Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator. Ciarán Dunn was on sound. And it's over now to Ronan.